Are you cyber confident? Do you know what your digital footprint is? Do you understand the reasons you're a cyber target? In this podcast series, you'll learn what it means to be cyber confident both at work and at home. Because when it comes to cybersecurity, the front line is you. I'm Josella Waldron, and in this episode, you'll hear from Ree Buckler, a Police Regional Cyber Prevent and Protect Officer. Ree is an expert on phishing, those emails or texts that encourage you to click on dodgy links which lead to fake websites. She says these can be a real problem in the run-up to Christmas due to the increase in online shopping. First of all, I asked Ree to explain a bit about the work she does.
So I work for the Regional Cybercrime Unit that covers Gwent, Dyfed Powys and South Wales Police Forces. So my unit is active in all things cyber, from investigations right through to engagement within our community, and I support victims of cybercrime. So the world of cybercrime has got quite a lot of ground to cover, so I'm here today to help provide some advice and hopefully some heads up on the current threats that we're facing at the moment in the police.
So we're here to talk about one particular cyber threat, phishing. In basic terms, what is phishing?
So there's quite a few different types of phishing that you'll need to be aware of. Most people have heard of the term phishing in its generic sense. And what that basically means is an approach that cyber criminals take, sending untargeted mass emails to many people, asking for sensitive information, such as your bank details, or encouraging you to visit a fake website. So I've had a phishing email recently where I was sent an email saying that my Netflix account would expire as my payment information needed to be updated. And if I hadn't updated it within 2 business days, my account would be terminated. So that's typical for a phishing email, as it has that sense of urgency, which causes you to click on the email, enter your personal information and probably your payment information, because of course you want your account to carry on.
So how does it work and why is it so dangerous?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because everyone nowadays has an online presence or a digital footprint. And it's this information that's used by a cyber criminal to make their attacks seem legitimate. It's very easy for an email address or website to be set up that looks genuine. So if you change the M to an N in Amazon.com or add an extra full stop in an email address, the human eye doesn't generally spot these errors unless we're really looking for it. And cyber criminals have taken full advantage of this. With generic phishing, like in my Netflix example, hundreds, if not thousands of emails are sent out to people. And it just takes one click from you for them to get what they want. There are several dangers with phishing, but the biggest one is that once the cyber criminal behind the phishing scam has your personal information, you're in danger of falling victim to identity theft, which can be hugely detrimental to both your professional and your personal life.
So what does a phishing email look like? You mentioned there a little bit about some of the addresses they come from. So What advice would you give people about spotting them?
So the short answer is that they look genuine and they're getting harder and harder to spot. But there are things that you can do. So you've got to ask yourself. And there's a few things with an email that you have a process to follow. So the first thing is to click on the sender's name to load the full email address. So are there any errors? This is usually the first giveaway. So no legitimate organization will ever send an email from an address that ends in at gmail.com, for example. Not even Google do that. The second is, does the email itself have a link? So if you can visit a website directly from your trusted browser, that's the best advice. But if you do think it's genuine, what you can do is you can hover over it with a mouse on your computer and the link address will pop up. Or if you're on a mobile phone device, you can hold the link and it'll pop up and it'll check that link first. Obviously, the big one is if there's any spelling mistakes, does the grammar sit right? And if the sender is a person or an organisation that you're familiar with or deal with regularly, does the content of the email seem out of character because their account may be compromised? And of course, if you're asked to be making a payment, do you normally share this information on an email? Is that usual standard procedure for you? And finally, the biggest of them all is if there's a download or an attachment in the email, are you expecting it? Is it usual practice? In the police, we advise that you never open an attachment unless you're fully confident that the message is from a legitimate party. Even then, you should look out for anything suspicious in the attachment. So if you receive a pop-up warning about the file's legitimacy, or if the application asks you to adjust your settings, absolutely do not proceed.
What are the current threats?
So there's four tier one threats in the UK to national security. So they're war, terrorism, natural disaster or pandemic, and cyber. I think if you asked anybody 18 months ago which of the big four would be the next to hit, I don't think anybody would have said pandemic, but here we are. And I don't think a lot of people realise the severity and the vulnerability we have when it comes to cyber, but it's one of the big four for a reason. So General Sir Patrick Sanders recently stated to The Independent that the British military is facing more than 60 cyber attacks a day on what he calls a modern day blitz. And it's become a new and dangerous frontline of the 21st century warfare. Now, with cyber criminals becoming increasingly more sophisticated, the advancement of technology and obviously the COVID-19 pandemic this year, there's new specific threats and patterns that we're seeing in the police from the cyber front. So PPE phishing to fake track and trace websites, for example. It's a really multi-layered attack. And we've seen that cyber criminals are sending malicious links to hundreds of thousands of users. A recent one was the Google Drive notifications. So scammers are leveraging legitimate Google Drive collaboration features to trick you into thinking that you're clicking on a genuine link when it's actually malicious. So we have to be really watchful with emails, especially if they have a link.
What can make you a target?
So 90% of successful cyber attacks happen through human error. Targeted phishing attacks are as successful as they are because cyber criminals focus on an organization's biggest weakness, which is the employees. So in the land of cybercrime, information is king, and working on an organization like the government, the police like I do, or for the MOD, means that you have access to information, which if it gets into the wrong hands, could be hugely detrimental to the UK. So if a cyber attack was successful in the MOD, for example, the impact could be devastating. Aside from the threat to national security, there's the financial loss if ransomware is deployed. There's impacts to productivity if the systems go down. And of course, there's damage to reputation. Simply working for the organization that you do makes you a target to a cyber criminal. So it's paramount that you're vigilant.
You've mentioned the coronavirus pandemic already. Mm-hmm. Has it had an impact on phishing attacks?
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely been a shift in the approach to phishing emails that we've seen, and cyber criminals are fully exploiting the current climate. This has been everything from the offer of cheap COVID testing for you and your family. There's been links to bogus PPE websites for staff, all the way right through to fake NHS track and trace emails. People are quite rightly worried about the pandemic and are actively looking for ways to protect themselves and their colleagues and their loved ones. So it's no surprise, really, that these emails are popping up. And the classic advice of if it's too good to be true, it probably is, really does apply here. I mean, we're in unprecedented times at the moment, and this means that emails come through from cyber criminals with a COVID-19 angle, and they look genuine because we don't have a baseline to compare it to. So being aware that these type of emails are out there will hopefully help you spot them. I mean, there was over 15,000 impersonation scams reported in the first half of 2020 alone, which is up over 80% compared to last year. So you can see how it's on the increase.
Now we're coming up to Christmas. And before that, obviously, we've got Black Friday and Cyber Monday, a peak time for online shopping. How do these events provide cyber criminals with opportunities?
I mean, absolutely. It's the busiest time of year for online shopping, even more so now that we're not able to get out to the shops with lockdowns. It's also the busiest time of year for cyber criminals who exploit the fact that people are busy and they can be easily distracted. Black Friday and Christmas shoppers are a favourite amongst fraudsters as they're perfect targets because you're in a rush to get your deals and your discounts when you can, so you don't miss them. Understandably, this year, we've got a lot more on our minds with the pandemic, obviously the welfare of our loved ones. We've got uncertainties around jobs, and cyber criminals are taking full advantage of this. So it's really important to be extra cautious online to safeguard yourself, your family, your finances, and obviously the organisation that you work for.
Have you got any examples?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few, unfortunately. I mean, they've had over 21,000 action fraud reports with fake PayPal phishing emails recorded between January and September of this year. And there's been a total reported loss of over £7 million. Fraudsters are experts at setting up fake sites with victims lured into fake pages with a promise of discounts and free gifts. So, for example, last year, they tried to gain access to Amazon Prime accounts by offering Christmas promotions, supposedly on behalf of Amazon, where to take part, you'd have to enter your credentials following a phishing link, and it took you through to a website that looked genuine. The result of that was that the hackers had your login and all your bank information. Last year, SecureList discovered phishing pages mimicking the Warface multiplayer gaming site. So gaming is quite a vulnerable area too. So last year, in honour of New Year, this fake site promised gamers 30 days free use of some powerful weapons, while another presented a golden rifle for joining Santa's helpers. So to receive the prize, the players had to enter their username and password on a fake login page, thereby giving scammers access to their account. So accounts with high in-game rank and unique paid-for weapons can fetch a really good price on the dark web. So it spreads across all areas, really.
God, that's really scary.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about online Christmas shopping. What should people do to protect themselves and their families?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the focus now, and I think everyone needs to be really vigilant. And there's a few simple things you can do that make a huge difference to protecting yourself online. So the most effective of them all is to make sure that a website is genuine when shopping online. And you can do this by carefully checking the spelling of the web address. And like I said earlier, always use the browser rather than searching through your email links. The second would be to make payment online. So once you've done that, ideally use a credit card or PayPal. But once you have made your payment, make sure you've logged out of the store that you've bought the item from. The third would be to be wary of countdown clocks or limited stock or short time deals. You probably see them quite a lot, especially with Black Friday deals. It's a tactic used by cyber criminals and fraudsters to get you to make a payment online by transferring your money directly to people or companies that you don't know and making sure that you get that deal. And if you can, do it early, because if you take your time to do online shopping, you relieve the pressure of getting those deals and you don't have the pressure of those Christmas delivery dates. So take the time to check the site is genuine, check reviews on products so you know the seller isn't fraudulent. Like I say, use PayPal or credit card purchases because they have obviously that secure network there as well. And having a unique password for each shopping site makes a huge difference as well, because cyber criminals are relying on you being stressed at this time of year, which we all are, but we're even more stressed this year with the pandemic as well. So try and make sure you're in the right headspace when you're doing your online shopping.
You mentioned PayPal earlier. Is PayPal safe, and what should people watch out for with phishing emails from supposedly PayPal?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I mean, we've had reports come through from fake phishing emails. The best thing to do, as I say, is always use your web browser. The best thing to do, ideally, is to download the PayPal app. Make sure your passwords are updated regularly. If someone asks you to make a transaction to them, for example, if you're buying an item from a friend or family member, there's two ways that you can make a payment on PayPal. One is a friends and family transfer, and the second is a business or goods purchase. If you use the second option, you have that extra buyer's protection that you don't necessarily have on that friends and family option. So that's the best advice, really.
Have you seen any interesting or unusual phishing attacks?
I mean, unfortunately, there's so many different types of phishing. And as I said, Christmas is a favourite time for cyber criminals to send texts, emails and post fraudulent offers on social media. So social media is one to be really wary of. There's a huge increase in online shopping this year with the pandemic, and it's seen the rise in fake parcel delivery notifications. Obviously, with all of us at home, we're doing our online shopping and it's coming to the house. And fraudsters have cottoned on to that quite quickly. So these messages include a realistic tracking code, as well as a link for you to click to set your preferences. So when you click this link, it redirects you to a website that looks genuine, but it's actually malicious. And you set your information up and you update all your details. And what you're actually doing is handing your information, your email address, your payment details, your residential address, straight into the hand of scammers. And with that information, it becomes simple for hackers to assume your identity and make fraudulent charges and open accounts in your name. If you do get a delivery text, email or a tracking number that comes through to see where your parcels are, as I said earlier, the best advice is always to go to the courier website directly and log in. It does take a few seconds longer than clicking a link in an email, but it is so much safer. And nowadays, most delivery services like DHL and Hermes have their own apps that you can safely download from your app store, and you can follow your parcels safely there. Another unusual one is that you may have heard about scanning scams or QR codes. So QR codes are becoming a gateway for fraud, and it's pretty easy for a fraudster to have a bogus website hiding the other side of that QR code. So you'll see these codes everywhere, like magazines or check-in posters at restaurants and cafes for COVID track and trace. And it's impossible to tell from the code itself if it's genuine. But there are a few things that you can do to sort of help with your safety with this. So the first is obviously be cautious of scanning codes in public. So don't scan a code that's on a bus stop, for example. If this code is on a removable sticker, don't scan it. If it's got accompany text, so if it's explaining that it's a government track and trace, chances are that's genuine. But if it's just randomly stuck and there's nothing accompanying it, then avoid it. But the best thing to do really is just to download a QR reader app. Don't just use your phone camera to do these scans, because these apps will check the website first for security.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's quite a few handy tips and tricks with things like this. And everything nowadays has got an app. So if you've got an Apple, use the App Store, obviously the Android equivalent. So if you are in a position where you use a service regularly, like that delivery service, absolutely. I mean, I have a lot of deliveries coming through at the moment for Christmas. So I've got the DHL app on my phone and I just regularly check it. So it's good advice if you use them regularly.
Are there any threats via phishing emails which specifically target the military?
Yeah, I mean, the military themselves are vulnerable to online attacks, whether that's phishing or other types of attacks. I mean, in 2012, it emerged that a senior military figure and MOD staff opened themselves up to potential security breaches because they accepted a friend request from a Facebook account that was actually bogus, and they thought it was the actual NATO top commander. So your digital footprint tells a cyber criminal a lot about you. The groups that you follow, the Twitter posts that you like, if you're interviewed like this or featured in an article, even old posts that you have in your social media kind of open the gateway to criminals. Most people with a security sensitive job are pretty good at making sure their Facebook profile and Instagram accounts are set to private, but it's not a one-time fix. So your Facebook settings, for example, need to be updated every time the app updates, and your mobile phone settings are totally independent to your desktop settings. So you do need to check both. I mean, you might have the best online security for your social media in place, but it just takes a friend or family member tagging you in something that opens that door to cyber criminals. So this happened to the ex-MI6 chief, Sir John Sawyers. So when he was appointed head of MI6, his wife actually posted on her Facebook about his promotion before it was made public. And the next day in the papers, there were snippets of comments of his wife's friends and family members from her Facebook page, along with photos that she had in her albums of herself and John. One of them was of him in his speedos, which is quite unfortunate. So another threat to you in the military is romance fraud. So dating sites like Uniform Dating open the door to potential love, but they also open the door to cyber criminals. So fraudsters gain access to direct contact with military professionals in the UK. And in the UK alone, the Fraud Intelligence Bureau reported over 3,000 victims of romance fraud last year, who handed over 39 million. So, of course, there's plenty of success stories with these things, but there's plenty of vulnerabilities with them, too. And this is where a lot of the phishing with military comes from, is sites like Uniform Dating. So there's a couple of things to look out for. The first is a red flag, which is with money being requested. So if the person you're talking to says that they've lost their job, or if the child needs to go to hospital and they need you to urgently transfer money, then obviously that's a big red flag. I mean, whilst we're restricted with travel at the moment, it's an easy way of scammers not to meet you. But COVID aside, they'll have excuses not to FaceTime you or video chat you either. They'll dodge questions, and the focus of the conversation will be entirely on you, because that's the way that they get the information from you to make their further phishing attacks seem more legitimate. I mean, you could be asked to provide your identity by sending a photo of yourself, some sort of ID or financial confirmation. And again, that's adding to that criminal profile. And the last really is that the picture isn't then. I mean, if you're going to go to the effort of scamming someone out of their money, you're not likely to use a real photo of yourself. And it's quite simple to do a reverse photo search on Google. So you just save the photo and then search it on Google backwards. And there's simple guides online how to do this. And that kind of gives you peace of mind as well if you're speaking to a genuine person. I mean, if it's important to you and your role and your family, cyber criminals will be trying to find a way to exploit this. So phishing campaigns surrounding pensions, for example, are a really good example of how this happens. And this happens a lot. We've had it in the police recently, where we were all sent phishing emails to do with our police pensions. And as I say, if it's important to you, you're likely to click on it. And that's exactly what the cyber criminal is hoping that you do.
Now we all understand what phishing emails are, thanks to all your excellent answers, Ree. Can you tell us about the next level up, spear phishing?
Yeah, so as I said at the beginning, there's a couple of different types of phishing that you need to be aware of. So the generic phishing is like a fisherman casting a wide net with vast volume, hoping that something gets caught. And its counterpart is, as you say, spear phishing, which is a much more specific and sophisticated method that cyber criminals use. It's highly targeted, as it targets a single individual using social engineering. So that Facebook thing that I mentioned earlier, and obviously the romance fraud, that all ties into social engineering, where cyber criminals will pretend to be from a trusted source. So they could be pretending to be from your IT company, a contractor that you have engagement with, or even a store where you've recently made a purchase. So spear phishing is a bit more sophisticated in that criminals will use that digital footprint that you have to make their attack seem as real as possible. So, for example, you might have posted on your social media that you were one of the lucky ones to pre-order the new PS5. So if your settings aren't secure, a cyber criminal could very easily use this post and send you an email saying that there's been an issue with your payment and your reservation for that PS5. And in order to make sure that you're secure in that line, then you need to update your payment information, you need to send new updated details, you need to update your address, that sort of thing. That's targeted, it's specific, and it creates a sense of urgency or panic that means you overlook the details and hand your payment information straight over to the cyber criminal. The trend with spear phishing is that victims are usually members of large organizations and companies, and it's the information that they have access to is generally of higher value. So the aim is to get your information and access your data, which can then be used in criminal activities such as fraud, blackmail, or even to get malware onto your device.
Let's talk a bit about smishing. I wanted to ask you about this because I've had a text from the DVLA telling me to follow a link and I would get a vehicle tax refund, which I thought was fake.
Yeah, good.
What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's classic smishing. So smishing, which is SMS or text phishing, and it works in a similar way to phishing. But as you say, you'll get a text message from what appears to be a trusted sender with a link to a website that looks legitimate. But it's just another tool in a cyber criminal's arsenal. So you've hit the nail on the head there. So you've had a text through from the DVLA. Obviously, it's a trusted sender as far as you're concerned. The link looks genuine, perhaps. But obviously, you need to question things. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. The fact that you're getting a rebate, chances are it's not. So it could be that a cyber criminal is posing as your bank. So the text message will come from the sender with your bank's name. So as the text comes up, it will say Lloyds or Barclays, or in your case, you know, HMRC or DVLA. And it could be appearing in a genuine message thread, which makes them really hard to spot. So you could have genuine message from your bank saying you're updating this, you're updating that, and the fraudster can slip into that email or text chain. And you should always contact the organization directly. So in this example, you could call the number on the back of the bank card, or you could log into your secure bank app. You'll often get a link to click with smishing, asking you to fill out personal information. As with the advice with the emails, always go directly to the website from the browser. Even if you do think it's genuine, never follow a link directly from a text message. Always come out, go into Safari or Chrome and go that way. And you can be really proactive in protecting others against smishing by forwarding texts that you think might be scam to 7726. And that gets picked up by your network, who will then investigate and forward it on to the police if it is deemed to be fraudulent activity.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, exactly. There's a couple of things that you can do. If the best advice is always just to delete things and not click on them. But if you do want to be proactive and if you do want to help others, you can absolutely forward things like text messages and emails.
Great. Now, what are your top tips for avoiding getting caught out by a phishing attack? What are your key takeaways?
So there's five main points, really, and they cover quite a wide area. So as with every skill, whether it's fitness or driving or cooking, you have to train to be good at it. And the same goes for cyber vigilance. So you need to train yourself to always use the browser to go to a website and not the email link, for example. The more you train at cybervigilance, the better you get at it. And it's a skill that realistically we're going to need for the rest of our life because technology is going to keep developing. The second would be to update your passwords. It's possibly quite a while since people have updated their passwords that are listening to this. And when I say update your passwords, I mean all of them. So make sure that your passwords are different for each service, every shopping site, every email account. Your work has to be different to your personal. And use the National Cybersecurity Center's advice of 3 random words with special characters. So it could be anything from lamp, rug, computer, exclamation mark, open bracket, 9. That's random and it's got no personal links to you, making it much harder to crack. Your email address is the vault to all of your passwords. So make sure that that one's extra secure by installing 2-factor authentication. So the third would be is if you suspect an email is phishing, as I say, you can forward it. So you can forward it to report@phishing.gov.uk, which is the government suspicious email reporting service. A suspected smishing text can be sent to 7726, as I mentioned, And on the 12th of October this year, Crime Stoppers launched a COVID-19 hotline where you can report COVID-related fraud, like we mentioned earlier. Action Fraud is a great place to go if you think you've been a victim of cybercrime. I mean, if you've been tricked into providing your bank details, the first thing you need to do is contact your bank and let them know. If you've had an alert on a work computer, you need to contact your IT department immediately. If you've clicked on a link that doesn't seem right, you need to run a full scan using your antivirus software. And if your account has already been hacked, there's excellent guides on the NCSE website, which shows you how to recover your account safely. The fourth would be to ask your employer, your manager, does your department have a cyber defense plan and a social media policy? Has this been updated recently to reflect the changes to the pandemic? It's good practice to familiarise yourself with this regularly, and you'll be seeing a lot of cyber-related advice as part of the MOD Cyber Confident at Christmas campaign, so make sure you fully immerse yourself in this. And the last advice really would be to chat to your loved ones. I mean, your cyber security is only as strong as your weakest social connection. Ultimately, we all want to be safe online, and having the conversation with friends and family helps us all get there.
That was Ree Buckler, a Police Regional Cyber Prevent and Protect Officer. Look out for more episodes in this series. For more information on how to be cyber confident, visit the Cyber Confident SharePoint site by searching Cyber Confident in Defence on DefNet and selecting Everything. Alternatively, you can email the team via cyberconfident@mod.gov.uk.